Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Brother Johnny, I'm going to ask if you would stand and pray one more time and thank the Lord for His Son being born in this time, and pray for the remainder of the service.
Your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Oh, Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Oh, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Amen. Amen. Song "Mary, Did You Know?" I like that song a whole lot. I believe somebody the other day told me it was one of their favorite Christmas songs. Thinking about Mary, did you know? And I want to take that in mind this morning, and I want to look at some things that Mary did not know and did not fully understand. The title of the message this morning is "Mary Did Not Know." Mary did not fully know. And I want to look at some of those things. And as we look at the story of Christ and we look at Mary and the things that conspired there, and we're going to look at some of those verses this morning, there are some things that Mary could never fully understand about Jesus Christ. There are some things that she can never take grasp on. And we're going to go through here and we're going to look at some of these things. And I want you to keep in mind this morning as we go through here that Mary, while she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God, she at this point was not filled with the Holy Spirit. She did not have the Holy Spirit, and she did not fully understand some of the things that were told to her. And throughout her life, the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, with Jesus Christ. And the Bible goes on to tell us that he had brothers and sisters, and Joseph, his earthly father, was there. As she goes through her life, she experiences several different emotions. She experiences different things in her life of raising the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at her life this morning and then look at a few passages of Scripture and some things that Mary found herself in different positions and feeling different things. And I want to compare those this morning to ours as we look through here and draw a conclusion. Look with me in Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26. Luke chapter 1 verse number 26. And as we go through here and we look at Mary and look at these different situations and emotions that she felt throughout her life in raising Jesus Christ and even into his adulthood, I want you to look at your life and think about some of the things in your life that you've experienced to compare alongside. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26, if you're there, say amen. First of all, I'd like to say that emotion that Mary felt when it came to Jesus Christ, the first one that I find here is that she was doubtful. That she was doubtful. Mary was doubtful. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art worthy, or highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, can you imagine Mary here, and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and tells her that she is blessed among women, and she's highly favored. And all of a sudden she says, oh boy, what does this mean? She's almost wondering what's next. What's about to happen? And it said that this thing troubled her and it bothered her to hear this, because she did not know what was coming next. And it was a scary situation for her. In verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So the first thing we find here in the story of Mary going through her life with Jesus was a moment of doubtfulness. And we find that she says here, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now again, can you imagine? We all know the story of Jesus, and we know, hey, I believe that she was born of a virgin. There's people that don't believe that today. I don't care what they believe. The Bible says she was born of a virgin, and I believe that, and I can read it, and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and I have faith to believe she was born of a virgin. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Put yourself in her shoes, that she was not married, she had not known a man, she was a virgin, and this angel shows up and tells her that she is going to have a child who is going to be the Savior of the world, and he will be the Son of God. Now, can you imagine in her mind the things that were running through there? To say, wait a second. Hey, there was a moment of doubtfulness where she said, hey, how can this be? Because I've not known a man. And immediately, the first encounter we have of Mary in the Bible here, when it comes to Christ, is her saying, how in the world can this happen? And, you know, my mind goes even further than this. And Brother Heitch or Brother Bowen, some of y'all that have studied the Bible quite a bit, I don't know, maybe you could tell me, but I don't see a lot of things about Mary's parents. Do we know a lot about Mary's parents? I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't remember studying a lot about them. But I can only imagine that she had parents, right? She was there, so she had to have parents. She wasn't born of a virgin. Amen. I can only imagine the things running through her mind. Can you imagine her having to go home and tell her dad that she's with child now? And she hasn't even been married yet? Amen. That's a tragedy. Now, I know in today's society that's nothing but a thing, but it's not right. Amen. That's not right. It ought to be the other way around, man. It ought to be that you save yourself for marriage and purity and honor before God, and then you get married, and then those things come. Nowadays, it's the other way around. This child in the backwards way. And I know there's some folks in here that might have went that route and might have were not right with God or whatever the case might be, and God worked it out, and praise the Lord for it. But it's still not right. Amen. You got to be like the Richies and wait 5 years. Amen. And finally have a child. But can you imagine the things that were going through her mind? And as she realized what was happening, and it was a bunch of emotion at one time, and her first thought was, how is this possible? And you know what? I find sometimes in our life that whenever God tries to tell us something, our very first reaction is, I don't know how that's going to be possible. But I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. And He can make it happen. So we find this emotion of doubtfulness, and she's distressed there in the first part of the verse, and she's upset, and she realizes as she's trying to comprehend what's been told to her, and it's hard to believe. I mean, I'm not a lady, and I thank God for it. Amen. There's a lot of things to praise God for, and I thank God that I'm not a lady. And I thank God for the lady He's put in my life. I could not do it without her. Amen. I praise the Lord for her every day. But I'm thankful I'm not. So I can't imagine this. But ladies, maybe you that have had children, can you imagine what Mary was feeling that day? That this angel shows up and not only tells you that you're going to be with child, and the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's going to place that seed inside of you, and now you have a baby coming, but on top of all that, this baby is going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to be the very Son of God. And Mary, being the family she was in, I'm sure she had read stories, and they had the Old Testament, and they even had probably the book of Isaiah that talked about the coming of a Savior, and the day came where she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. That is a lot at one time. And yet the first thing she says there is, how in the world is this going to be possible? So number one, we find that Mary was doubtful. And we cannot accuse her for that, because we find ourselves a lot of times being doubtful that God can do it. Man, we have things in our life, and we have financial problems and health problems, and we've got relationship problems, and so many times we can read the Word of God, just like the angel spoke to Mary, and we can read the Word of God and see what He says, and we in our feeble mind say, I don't know how God can do it. I don't know how He can get me through this situation. And so we find her there that she was doubtful. Not only that, but another emotion that Mary felt during this time, number two, was she was delighted. Not only is she doubtful, there was a lot of mixed emotions. She was doubtful, she was afraid, she was delighted about what news she'd received. Look at verse number 36. Verse number 36, Luke chapter 1, verse 36, the Bible says, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Man, I tell you what, that is a verse stuck right in there at the right time for Mary. He said, hey, with God nothing is impossible. As Christians, as child of God, we need to get that down. Nothing is impossible with God. Well, you say, I've got family. They won't get saved. They won't get in church. They've got this. They've got that. With God, nothing is impossible. We have to realize that. You know, the only limitation to God is us, our faith in Him. Verse number 38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist started praising God when he heard about this. Amen. That's who was in Elizabeth's womb. John the Baptist began to praise God over the fact that Mary was to have the Savior of the world. And verse number 43, "And whence is this to me, and that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Do you know what Mary finds herself here? When she gets confirmation that this thing has really happened and she is really with child, and she tells Elizabeth about it, and John the Baptist is rejoicing in the womb, and Elizabeth is excited. Hey, all Mary can do now is just worship and praise God for what he's done. And all she goes on to brag on God. She goes on to be delighted in Him and worship Him and talk about how great He is. And I'm telling you what, if you've ever felt the touch of the Holy Spirit of God in you, I'm telling you what, it ought to bring joy to your heart. You're right with Him and you're serving Him. Imagine if, you know, I've heard preachers say before, I don't believe it'll happen again, but if God was to have to choose another woman to send a Savior through the world today, would you be that woman that He chooses? That's a humble thought. That's a humbling thought to think about that. But she begins to rejoice and she praises Him for what He's done. Not only was Mary doubtful and delighted, but number three, look at Luke chapter number 2. And I'm getting somewhere with all this. What I'm trying to get at the title of the message is Mary did not know. Mary did not fully know. She did not fully understand during the life of Christ who it was exactly that she had. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40. Not only did Mary find herself at times doubtful and delighted, but she found herself disappointed. Luke chapter number 2, she found herself disappointed in Christ. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 40. "And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. And so we find Mary here at a time of her life where it seems like she's disappointed in the fact that her son had not followed them. She said there in verse 38, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Mary's disappointed. And she's upset because Jesus Christ did not follow them home, and he stayed there. And the Bible says that he told Mary that he was about his father's business. You say, what kind of comparison can we draw to that? You know, there's a lot of times in our life that Jesus Christ is just doing what he needs to do, and we find ourselves being disappointed in him. You say, disappointed in God? Yeah, the Lord tries to work in our life, and he tries to do things, but there's people that look and they say, I'm just disappointed. I thought that God was going to do this, or I thought that he was going to do this in my life, and I thought he was going to help me here, but the fact is, it just wasn't time yet, and God has the master plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. And even the 12-year-old Christ that sat there and taught in that temple to all those physicians and doctors and lawyers, and he taught them, even the 12-year-old Christ knew that he had to be about his father's business. He knew exactly what he was doing. Mary was disappointed because he said, well, why have you done this? Why did you stay back? You had us worrying. You had us all upset. And he said, I'm about my father's business. You know, there's times I think we might go to God and we're disappointed about how something turns out, and we're upset about it, and we're upset about how things happen, and the whole time Christ is just telling us, let me handle it. Let me take care of it. And he'll take care of it all because he's doing his father's business, and he's doing exactly what needs to be done. Look at John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. I'm getting somewhere with all this. I hope it's not boring you, and I don't want it to be confusing, but just looking at some things about Mary that the Lord showed us this morning. John chapter number 2, look at verse number 1. Here's another point in the life of Mary, and again, can you imagine raising the Lord Jesus Christ? Raising the Son of God, the one that will die on the cross. Can you imagine that being your child that you raise up, and as a baby you take care of him and go through all the stages of the baby, and then as a teenager and a young man he sits there and he's teaching in the temple, and you got all these emotions going on, and now Jesus Christ is grown here and he's beginning his earthly ministry. And we find in John chapter 2 and verse number 1. John chapter 2 and verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, there's a whole lot in these four verses and a whole lot that can be preached, but I would like to point out one thing here when it comes to the emotions of Mary and some things that she experienced was the fact that she became distracted. She became distracted. She's at this wedding and she's here, and understand that up to this point, there have not been any miracles take place yet. Those things had not happened yet. And so Mary was here, and she was worried about them being out of wine, and she was worried about what was going on there, and she was distracted by her surroundings, and she was concerning herself with something that she could not do anything with. And that's why Jesus Christ told her there, among other reasons, in verse 4, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And she was worried about what was going on, and she was distracted by the fact they were out of wine there. And you know what? I think sometimes in the Christian life, we find ourselves distracted with everything going on around us. We have things that come up in our life, and we have situations that come up, and they bear down on us, and we get worried, and we get stressed out, and we get bothered. There are more Christians today on antidepressant medicine than there ever has been, because they worry about everything under the sun. They worry, they worry, they worry, and they go to God and they pray about it, but instead of giving it to Him, Brother Terry, they go tell Him about it, and then go back to worrying about it. A lot of Christians find themselves in that place where instead of just asking God to take it and giving it to Him, instead of doing that, they go tell God about it, but then they go right back to worrying about it. And Mary found herself distracted by the situation she was in. And she's there worrying about it. And I think we do the same thing sometimes. And we wonder why God won't take it from us. And it's because you've never fully given it to Him. You've never fully handed it over to Him. And we'll allow those things to distract us instead of just letting God do what He needs to do and give it to Him and hand it over to Him. There was another verse I wanted to look at, and I didn't write it down here. Look over at... what did I do with it? Luke chapter number 11. Not only was Mary distracted, but here's another instance in the life of Mary. Not only was she distracted, but Mary became a distraction. Luke chapter number 11. Mary became a distraction. Luke chapter number 11. If you're there, say amen. All right, Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 27. Luke 11, verse number 27. And it came to pass, Jesus Christ is here, and He's talking to these folks, and in verse number 27, and it came to pass as He spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto Him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, Mary's not here during this portion right here, but she's being lifted up, and she's trying to be magnified, and it becomes a distraction to what Jesus Christ is actually teaching. And the lesson to learn there for us is we should never allow our life to be a distraction to the Lord Jesus Christ being magnified. And you know what's sad today? Mary, the mother of Jesus, is worshipped. There's idols of her. There's statues of her. And right here in this passage, this very thing of Mary worship began, and they began to worship her here, and Jesus Christ, He stopped it immediately, and He said that she's not to be worshipped. He called her a woman several times there, and there's so many different instances in the Bible where she was not to be magnified, she was not to be praised or worshipped, but yet, you know what, today people worship her. People will worship her. They'll have statues of her everywhere and all these things, and there's religions that worship her, but you know what all that is? All that is a distraction from who we ought to really be looking at. And our life should never be a distraction. And you know what's sad? Because of the commercialization of Christmas, I believe the devil's been involved in some of that to distract people from the real thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's used everything in this world. He's used all these Christmas characters, and he's used all these things to take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what's sad? I've seen Christians, and I'm going to be careful here, but I've seen Christians give credit to a fictional character that ought to belong to God for things that has happened in their life, for things that we ought to say, glory to God, I want to thank God because He has He's provided this gift to me, or He's given me this child, or because whatever the case might be, whatever the thing is, and say we ought to give glory and praise to God for He's done this. They've given credit to a fictional character. Amen. And you know what? The devil's sitting back like, oh, God didn't get credit for that. I can't create life. I can't do these things, but guess what? God didn't get credit for it. Somebody else did. And you know what? He's masterminded this thing. And you say, well, it's just innocent and it's just something for me and my kids and my family. Well, it becomes more than that when you open it up to the entire world. And as a child of God, you make a statement, you make a declaration that somebody other than God has blessed you with something that only God can bless you with. That's a dangerous place to be. You know what you become at that point? You become a distraction. Because when the world sees you, they don't see the Lord Jesus Christ. They see everything else going on in this world, in your life, and they do not see the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary here, she's being worshipped, and Jesus said, hey, she's not the one that ought to be magnified. She's not the one that ought to be lifted up. My words, and Jesus Christ ought to be magnified and lifted up. Amen? Question is, what are we portraying to the world? Are we pointing them to Christ? Or are we pointing them to other things? And so there was a distraction here. A lot of things in the life of Mary. Look at John chapter number 19. I'm almost finished. John chapter number 19. Not only does Mary find herself in times of doubt, times of delight and disappointment, times of distraction, and times where she is the distraction. Mary didn't ask for that when that lady began to worship her, but she was. She was worshipped. But Mary finds herself here in a time of dismay. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I'm almost finished. Please bear with me. I know there's some that are hot, there's some that are cold, tired. But we're almost done here this morning. John chapter 19, verse number 25. You're there, say amen. Mary finds herself here in a time of dismay. Verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his home. We find here the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The horrible death that he suffered on the cross and the things that was put upon him and happened to him. And we find out that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And this was a time of dismay. That word dismay means disheartened, deprived of courage. All of her life she had tried to help raise this child who was to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And she went through her life and she had seen him do miracles and she had seen him do these things and she loved him. And if you've had a child, you understand that the love that you have for that child is indescribable. And it compares to nothing. Brother Philip, whenever you hold your child, the Lord allows that day to come. I'm telling you, it'll be something like you've never experienced before in your life. And Mary had that. But hers was a little bit different. Hers was the Son of God, and he was born to die. Say, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your son would be the Savior of the world? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary, did you know that boy that you delivered will one day deliver you? Mary could try to comprehend it. She really didn't know. And she sat there and watched her son on the cross of Calvary. That day, she could never fully comprehend and understand why this was happening to her son. And she had heard and she had seen how they ripped his beard out and they spat in his face and how they mocked him and they made fun of him and they put a crown of thorns on his head and beat it down where it went through his brow and through his eyebrows and came down through there and there was blood and they beat him so much that he didn't even look like a man. They couldn't even recognize him as a man. He looked like a piece of meat hanging on the cross. And mothers in here this morning, can you picture that, your son on the cross saying, I know that he was supposed to be the Savior of the world and he was supposed to be the Son of God. But Can you imagine the child that you had is up there now and all these things, and people around are mocking and making fun of them? I tell you what, one of the meanest people you'll ever run across in the world is a mother that her child's been done wrong. That is one of the meanest people in the whole world, is that mama when their child's been done wrong. Amen. She'll defend that child. And imagine Mary that day. She was helpless. She couldn't do anything. And she saw, and she was sitting there in dismay. She was discouraged. And I can only say, you say, Mary, did you know? She sees him up there on the cross and says, I know, but I don't think she ever fully understood. At this point in her life, I still do not think she fully understood. She knew what she was told. She had seen the things that had happened throughout her life. She had seen what Christ has done. And now he's there on the cross. But I still don't think she fully understood. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. At this point, Acts chapter number 1, the Son of God has defeated death. He's defeated hell and has the victory. He rose from the dead. He rose again. Mary knew this now. She knew that her son, the Son of God, had rose from the dead. And now she is sitting here in the upper room. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 13. Are y'all still with me? I'm almost done. Acts chapter 13. According to that clock, I got 30 more minutes, but it's dead. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 13. Acts 1:13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and who? Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Jesus Christ had just ascended. He rose from the grave not long ago, and now he's ascended to go be with his Father, and he made a promise. He made a promise to those folks, his disciples, Mary. He made a promise that whenever he left, he was going to send a comforter. And Mary's gone through her entire life. She knew the stories of the Old Testament. She knew the things she experienced with Christ, but she never fully understood. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now Mary and these disciples are in the upper room. Peter's preaching. He's talking to them. They're praying out to God. And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ comes through on his promise. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, when the days of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is here with them, and all of a sudden, her spiritual eyes are opened, and all of a sudden, when she gets the Holy Spirit of God, and finally that Comforter comes, she finally gets it, she finally understands everything that had been told, and that Comforter is now in her. She had raised Christ, and she had done all these things all these years and saw him die on the cross of Calvary. And all of a sudden, this great, mighty revival takes place here. And the Holy Spirit of God comes down like a rushing, mighty wind and fills the room. And the Bible says it sat upon each and every one of them. And Mary was sitting in there, the one that had raised Jesus, the one that sat there to the angels and said, how can this be that I'm with child? I doubt it. I don't know how this can happen. I've never been with a man. And the same one that was disappointed in Christ, and the same one that had all these distractions in her life, and the same one that was dismayed watching him on the cross of Calvary, she is finally delivered. Mary, did you know that this child that you delivered will one day deliver you? Jesus Christ died on the cross for his mother, for every one of us. And that day, Acts chapter 2, they're in the upper room, and God moves in a mighty way. God begins to move, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. And now she can sit there and go, I understand now. I get it. Let me take you to two more verses, and I'll be done. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and Revelation 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Revelation 21. Mary, did you know? Mary can now say, I finally understand why this had to happen. I knew that he was the Savior of the world, the Son of God, and now I know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in one hand and Revelation 21 in the other. Do you understand that if you're saved today, if you have a time in your life where you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. You understand that? As we read the Bible and we read the story of the virgin birth and the creation of the heaven and the earth and Noah and the flood and Jonah and the whale, and we read all these stories about Jesus walking on the water and turning the water into wine and all the miracles that he did, we believe it by faith because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and gives us that faith. And we can believe it. Brother Philip, she didn't have the Holy Spirit through her life with Christ. We do. July of 1995, I got on my hands and knees before an almighty God. And just as Mary, the Holy Spirit of God, spiritually and supernaturally placed the seed of Jesus Christ into her womb, the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually and supernaturally with a sharp two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. He took and he went in my heart and he did a surgery that can never be undone. And the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit came to live in me. You know, Brother Johnny, there's been times in my life where I've been discouraged. There's been times, and I'm talking about I have Christ. As Mary raised Christ and she was there with him throughout his life, I've had Jesus Christ in my life since I was 9 years old. And there's been times of doubt. There's been times where I doubted, Lord, can you really do this? Oh, I've been praying for this person for so long. I've been praying for our marriage. I've been praying for my children. I've been praying for this. But in the back of our mind, we're saying, God, can you really do this? And we have the Holy Spirit. Mary didn't. And we have them. And there's been times in my life where I've been delighted. Oh, Brother Johnny, some of the greatest memories I have in my life have been in church. Some of the greatest memories of my life have involved the Spirit of God. Oh, seeing people get saved and seeing things happen. I tell you what, there's a few things I'll never forget. Man, Alicia getting saved the other night, that is, hey, we ought to be rejoicing. The Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing over a soul that's saved. Oh my, as a child of God, that ought to thrill our heart to see if another young person the devil did not get. It thrilled my heart. Man, I tell you, I'll never forget the day that Brother Tony got saved. His girls, and man, to see what God's done with some, I'll never forget the day that Ella got saved. There's some things in my life where I've had delight. You know, there's been some times in my life that I've been dismayed. I've just been tore up and upset about something I had no control over. It just broke my heart. And I had Christ. But can I tell you one day, for the child of God, for Mary, she went her entire life with Christ. And she experienced all these things. And then finally, one day, when she received that Holy Spirit of God for the first time that she had heard about, everything in her life was changed. It all started for me the day I got saved. It all started for you the day that you got saved. That's when everything started over again. Amen. God forgave all your sin, your past, and he gave you the sweet Holy Spirit of God. And we can still find ourselves with these emotions. But I'm telling you, one day, we will understand it all. So I don't understand how sometimes we hear a baby's dying and we hear things that take place. And my brother and sister-in-law went through one of the hardest things a mother could go through here recently, where 2 days before the baby was to be delivered, they could not find a heartbeat. That morning there was a heartbeat. They went that afternoon to the doctor. There was no heartbeat. The umbilical cord was wrapped around its neck and they couldn't deliver it. Say, how in the world? I'll never understand that. I'll never understand some of the things that happen in this world. And you know, the only way we can make it is with Christ, with the peace of Christ and with His love and joy. But that doesn't mean you'll understand it. We'll never fully comprehend those things. But one day, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, if you're there, say amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Go quickly, Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation 21, Miss Sarah, come to the piano, begin to play something. Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation 21 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, the same John, there saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain, the water of life freely. I tell you what, child of God, one day we will know. One day we'll finally understand. One day we will finally get to be with the Creator of the universe. Mary was physically with the Lord Jesus Christ. She was with Him His entire life, all the way up until His death, when she watched her darling Son die on the cross. And then He sent the Holy Spirit. And now if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. And almost in reverse order, Brother Heitch teaches it so eloquently when he goes through there and talks about it being a turning process, get to the cross. Hey, Mary had Jesus. She was there with Him. He left and sent the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And one day, we will be with Him. And we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Mary, that day of Pentecost, her eyes opened and said, this is what it was all about right here, was that He could come be a Savior, that He could send His Holy Spirit to save us. Just as she had that day, one day, Brother Johnny, we're going to stand before Him. And we're going to see the nail scars in His hands. And we're going to say it was worth it all. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. So as you think about Christmas and Jesus being born this year, why don't you look at Him for who He is, the Savior of the world. We ought to rejoice and magnify and worship Him. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I know what time it is. Hey, if God spoke to your heart during the message, maybe you just need to come worship Him this morning. Maybe you need to come praise Him. Would you come? There's some that are coming. Brother Heitch, would you and Sister Heitch bring your Bibles and come down here to the front, please, and bring your Bible with you? Maybe every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. Maybe somebody this morning just needs to come worship God. Hey, those angels, when they showed up, all the multitude of angels, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill toward men. And those angels said, we've got to see this. We've got to go worship this Jesus. Oh my, maybe this morning you just need to worship Him. Humble your pride and come down and worship Him. There might be someone this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You have never in your life got down and got real with God and asked Him to come in your heart and save you. Would you come this morning? We have a lady that could take the Bible if you're a lady. There's a man that if you're a man, he'll take the Bible and he can show you how to be saved. Every head bowed. Nobody's looking around. Would you step out this morning? Say, Brother Andrew, I want to know how to be saved. Hey, Jesus died on the cross and He gave the greatest present ever given. Does you no good unless you accept it? Would you come? There's some on the altar this morning. We're going to give them their time. And if God spoke to your heart, you should come. Don't quench that Holy Spirit. Oh my, when Mary first experienced the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible said all kind of things took place that day. And hey, she would tell you this morning, Hey, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a precious thing it is to have the conviction of God and the Holy Spirit in our life. Is there anybody here? Say, Brother Andrew, if I was to die today, I do not know. If I was to die today, I do not know if I would go to heaven. I think I might. I'm not sure, though. I want to know for sure. Would you raise your hand right now? Just slip your right hand up. Say, Brother Andrew, if I die today, I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, if I die today, I do not know for sure. If you raise your hand, would you come up here? If you raise your hand, would you come? Hey, today is the day of salvation. Would you come? Ma'am, would you come? Young man, would you come? Brother Hutch. If you raised your hand, hey, do not let this pass. If God spoke to your heart, I'm telling you this morning, He's the greatest thing that's ever been. He's the greatest thing there ever will be. Oh, if you would just accept Christ. Anybody at all, right now, anybody at all, say, Brother Andrew, I want to know. Would you come? God's doing business down here this morning. Would you let Him do His work? Anybody else? Ma'am, that you raised your hand, would you step out by faith right now? Would you step out and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved? Do not let this opportunity pass. Oh, we have a great God that died a horrid death on the cross of Calvary and took your sin to take your place so you don't have to go to hell. You raised your hand this morning. Would you come? Anybody else also? Brother Andrew, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'm going through some things, and I would like somebody to pray with me. Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all say, Brother Andrew, would like somebody to pray with me? If you need to be quietly, if you need to be seated, you can do it quietly. And just please remain with your head bowed and eyes closed as the Lord continues to do the work down here. There's still one that raised their hand. Would you step out by faith? God can save you. God can do it this morning. Oh, He can take it away. Would you trust Him? Would you step out by faith and just make that trip down here and let's take the Bible and show you how to be saved.